First of all, I want to invite all of you to the breakfast in St. Joseph Hall after Mass to celebrate our patronal feast of the Immaculate Conception. Also want to remind you that at 3 o'clock this afternoon we'll have a communal penance service. Father Troja and I will be hearing confessions, as well as Father O'Donnell and possibly Father Shout, also from Mount Carmel. This is one we do every year together before Easter. We have it at Mount Carmel. Today we have it here, and people from Mount Carmel will be coming as well. A fellow went to the restaurant and was waiting at the maitre d's table, which was unoccupied at the moment, and a server came by holding a tray full of drinks, and he looked at the fellow, and the fellow says, "I have a reservation, but I'm rather early." And the server says, "Do you mind waiting?" He says, "No." "Well, then here, take this tray and take it to table number 6. Not a great one, but that's okay. We know all about waiting. All of us, some of us indeed have waited tables. I waited tables for a while when I was in Michigan working for my brother. Don't work for a relative. But we've all waited for various things. We wait for Christmas, for birthdays, vacations. Sometimes we wait for a wedding day, or we wait for a bus, or wait for a package from Amazon. And the church wants us to look about and see, understand about waiting in this season of Advent, waiting for the day of the Lord. The beginning of the first reading is something we have all heard many, many times. "Comfort ye, comfort ye, my people," from Messiah. And the prophet is telling the people in exile that their deliverance is at hand. In spite of their exile, which is because of their infidelity, the Lord forgives them and will bring them back to their land. And he speaks the words that refer to John the Baptist. He is a voice crying in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And we need to continue to prepare for the Lord's coming. We can't just sit around and wait. This is one of the things that Paul was writing about when he wrote to the Thessalonians, because some of the people there thought that the Lord was coming very, very soon, in the next few weeks or months. So they stopped their jobs, and they were then going all around the community begging for their own food and so forth, and making themselves a bother. And Paul says to them, "If you don't work, you shouldn't eat." So in other words, go back to work. You can't just wait. You have to do something while you're waiting. And while we wait, we hear what Peter says in the second reading. The delay is only a delay from our perspective. God is patient with us. He is patient because he wants us to come to repentance. And so we need to make ready, because again, we don't know the day. And the way we are to be ready for the Lord's coming is to do the works of charity and mercy, to take time to pray and worship, take time to share the truth of the Lord's coming. We cannot say to ourselves, "I have plenty of time," because again, we don't know how much time we have. I remember the story of St. Thomas More. He was riding with a friend, and the friend was living a rather scandalous, sinful life. And St. Thomas says to him, "You ought to really get yourself straightened away." And he says, "Well, no, I just have to remember, at the last moment of my life, I simply have to call out, 'Jesus, mercy,' and I'll be saved." And Thomas agrees. And at that point, for some reason, his horse shies, and the fellow is thrown from his horse, says, "What the hell," hits his head on the rock, and dies. We don't know when the last day will be. There will be a day when we don't have any more time. Therefore, we must be found ready when the Lord comes, to live without stain or blemish, to live in peace. And finally, we hear the beginning of the gospel according to Mark. And we see John the Baptist proclaiming what is going to happen. And the gospel according to Mark doesn't begin with the nativity stories that we see in Matthew and Luke. Mark wants to get right to the heart of the things, to Jesus' ministry. So he starts with John's proclamation. And we are called to make the same proclamation. We are to respond to the call to repentance. We are called to surrender every day to God's will, to do what he calls us to do, whether we want to do it or not, to act with love because of our faith, to continue the proclamation that there will be a day when we won't have any more days, to proclaim Jesus, who, as John says, is one mightier than I. The end of time is coming, the end of the time of all of creation, and there is the end of our own personal time. Therefore, we are to live in active and joyful proclamation of the truth of the good news, that Jesus has come, and he loves us and loves each of us, and he will come again in glory, that we may live each day in Christ, preparing ourselves for the fullness of all things.